It's time for our weekly conversation surrounding the subdivision with FCS Nation host Kevin Marshall. Kevin, you texted me saying that you're home, but now you're in Montana. What's going on? You finally decided that you didn't want the warm and sunshine anymore, or what?
No, I just had to go back to where I actually live now, right? Home will always be Charleston, South Carolina, but, left 74 and beautiful and historic and lovely, and for 36 light rain. Awesome. I'm real happy fella, I might tell you.
That must have been for a tax thing, right? You got to have a certain amount of days in Montana or mess everything up come April or March.
Yeah, it's called being married. So I had to, that's what, and if I wanted to stay that way, I couldn't just pick up and walk back into my southern way of life.
There's a few great matchups, of course. We're wrapping up the regular season, some of the rivalry weekend type things of sorts. I want to dive right into a big matchup within the Valley. That's North Dakota hosting South Dakota State, a couple of top 25 squads. At this point, both teams are 7-4. Rumors and murmurs of Chase Mason participating for the first time in literally a calendar month with the team this week. With this ball game specifically, is there a possibility for both of these programs to still make the tournament in your eyes, or is it whoever loses this one is just getting ready for spring ball?
I'm not sure 7-5 is going to get it done this year with additional Ivy League team. What could play out in the HBCU ranks, the SWAC and the MEAC? Who knows what's going to happen there? I just think, man, when you look at two teams that have 7-4 records, man, North Dakota's looks way different than South Dakota State's looks, doesn't it?
It really does.
I mean, they got the same record, but one of them was 7-0, right, at one point during the season. So, we're higher on this North Dakota team than a lot of people are, mostly because of how they've played and how, yes, they have some losses, but the good loss thing is something that I don't like. It's very problematic for me. But, you go in and Montana keeps winning and they keep beating people to sleep. And North Dakota was, if they could have got out of their own way that Saturday at Washington Grizzly Stadium, this wouldn't be talk of a must-win game for the playoffs for them. They should have won that football game. So South Dakota State is a team that is going down, it seems like. But if they can get Chase Mason back, that's a shot right in the arm to everybody on that football team. But Chase Mason don't play defense, and that has been their problem the last 3-4 weeks.
The other Valley game that has got playoff implications on it, that's SIU, Stone Stomping Grounds, with Southern Illinois taking on and visiting Illinois State. You just mentioned with the HBCUs, with having the Ivy Leagues now involved, is there still hope for three of the four teams on those two ballgames to make the tournament? Or is it basically if you win that ballgame, you're in with Illinois State and SIU, and if you lose it, you're out as well?
Well, everybody who is on the bubble had better hope that Lehigh beats Lafayette. So if Lafayette wins and gets the automatic bid for the Patriot League, that's going to throw a whole lot of people's hopes right in the trash can. So that game is huge this week. But Southern Illinois, man, they were so good on defense last year. And it's really, how do you go from that good to being this bad, right? How do you score 50 points and not be able to win the football game? I mean, they've kind of Western Carolina themselves, it looks like, a little bit. Balled in tremendously on the offensive side of the ball and just hope that their defense can get a couple of stops because they're going to score. And it's worked a lot of times this year, but it hasn't worked when they've absolutely needed it to. And Jace, you know how I feel about Brock Spack.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great coach. He'll have his guys ready to go. And look, that's a football team that has athletes on both sides of the football. They get after you on defense, and they're playing extremely well right now. Southern Illinois is playing well on one side of the ball. I think I'm going to have to take and favor the team that's playing well on both sides versus one who has a great offense, and the defense seems to be in shambles.
Well, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about that game last week, because when we got done, I caught the end of it on the radio on the way home, and I was a little surprised, number one, South Dakota had to make a comeback to get that game to overtime, number one. Then obviously overtime was back and forth, and you leave it to just two-point conversion plays. I mean, anything can happen. But I really thought USD's record on the road this year was really going to limit them in this game, and they found a way to get a win, kind of essentially punching their ticket as a second-place team in the Valley to the playoffs. But what went wrong for Southern Illinois this year? They started off, I feel like they had high hopes going into this season, and it seems like it's kind of fizzled out a bit, kind of like South Dakota State with all their injuries.
I mean, at some point, maybe the guy who is leading your program has taken you as far as he can take you.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that often in college football, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Where a team can get to a certain point, it seems like every year, and then a change is made and the new person can take them further than they've been able to get before. We're maybe going to see that with North Dakota this year. We have seen that with Mercer. We have seen that with teams all over this country. And I know that Coach Nick Hill is a son of the Salukis, but maybe he's just not the guy to make that program into what they want it to be. I'm not advocating for that. I just think it's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense has been outstanding, and they have had some dudes play defense for them in the past few years, guys who were getting paid money to play football on Sundays. And they just don't seem to have those guys this season, Jace.
Yeah, it really does. When I look at their schedule, especially after the bye week, they're 3-4. They're three wins against the bottom feeders in the Missouri Valley. Those four losses, NDSU, UND, Youngstown State, South Dakota, four teams that are all looking to try and punch their way into the playoffs. So I just don't think that they have it this year. And I totally agree with you that Illinois State would be, in my opinion, maybe not necessarily a huge favorite, but a definite favorite against Southern Illinois this weekend.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I always say, nobody circles the wagons like that fellow with the cowboy mustache.
When you look over at the Big Sky this past week, then, and going into this week, you got the Brawl of the Wild coming up. Montana State, two of the top teams in the subdivision. Obviously, I predict, or I would guess anyway, that those two teams are going to be in the Big Dance come soon. What other teams are you looking at to solidify spots this weekend? You've got three teams that have seven overall victories in the on the season with UC Davis, Sac State, and Northern Arizona. Do one, two, maybe three of those teams, do they make it into the NCAA playoffs, Kev?
Well, look, Northern Arizona hasn't beat anybody. And last season, that didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They had basically the same season last year, but they're having this year. They beat nobody who they were not supposed to beat and didn't look particularly good in the ball games against teams that would have made their season to beat. Not sure that's going to be good enough this year. Sacramento State, look, all the stuff that they said that made people like maybe want to see them fail, give Brennan Marion credit, the head coach there. He kept that team together when it looked like everything was going to fall apart. And they have the Causeway Classic this week at number 10, UC Davis. UC Davis, they looked great at times against the Bobcats last week. But when it came to crunch time, when they had to make a play, they turned it over. Or they threw an interception that went for a pick six. Or they threw another interception. It's maybe one of the first times all season that we've seen their freshman quarterback, Caden Pennick, play like a freshman quarterback. And you had to feel like that was going to happen at some point. And it was just unfortunate for the Aggies that it happened on that big stage on ESPN2 in Bozeman against the Bobcats. This is a huge game for both teams. Sacramento State, who knows what next year is going to hold? Nobody knows, I don't think. And UC Davis, you have an opportunity here to knock Sac State out, solidify your spot, get a seed, and maybe have a home game, and that will set up better for you than it will having to take that freshman quarterback and your beat-up and injured football team. Those injuries are piling up for Davis. And having to take that team on the road and try to make a run when you're already starting from behind.
I real quick want to jump in because I got to make sure that I have my ducks in a row here on this one. And this might be me being naive. This might be a little bit of lack of intelligence on my part. But Sac State with that whole Division One FBS, you know, the shenanigans they pulled, they're ineligible for the playoff, correct?
Not this season.
Really?
No,
so
sir.
Between UC Davis and Sac State, that's a literal play and you're in type of ball game then, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, golly. So, I mean, that's a playoff-type atmosphere ball game. I mean, with UC Davis, how important is it with the fact that they had that cancellation against Mercer, that weird game in week one or week zero?
Well, this is what has got me sort of questioning things a little bit, because that game was declared a no contest.
Mm-hmm.
But a source that is generally in the know about NCAA stuff has hinted that for redshirt statuses and for player statuses, that game is going to count as a game of your four. So I don't know, either it counted or it didn't,
yeah.
Right? You can't, that just seems like some NCAA shenanigans, and I don't like those. But that game hurt Davis and it hurt Mercer a lot that it didn't count. Mercer had the ball on Davis's side of the field, driving to take the lead after being behind, and when the bottom fell out of that storm there in Alabama. So, Davis, take care of Sac State, and you'll have a much easier path to make a run in the playoffs. If you don't, well, then you're probably going on the road, and we all know how that works out. We haven't seen a team really make a run like that who has to go on the road early in quite a while in these playoffs.
Kevin, when you look at a couple other teams in your top 10, because obviously we start with NDSU, we got the two Montana schools, Montana, Montana State, which will kind of work things through there this week and in the Brawl of the Wild. But then 4, 5, and 6 are kind of interesting to me. You got Tennessee Tech at 4, Lehigh at 5, and Mercer at 6. Obviously, you guys feel that Tennessee Tech is the best of those three squads. How deep of playoff runs do you think that Tennessee Tech, Lehigh, and or Mercer could potentially make in this year's playoffs?
Well, Tennessee Tech has a huge game this week on the road at Tennessee Martin. And that game is gigantic for Tennessee Tech. Their offense has not looked as good in the last 3 weeks as it did the previous month. It's not even close. So either there's some stuff on tape that makes them beatable, makes you be able to hold the score down on them,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they're just not playing as sharply as they did earlier in the season. They could definitely lose that game at Tennessee Martin. Absolutely. It's a conference game, and it is going to be the swan song for Tennessee Tech in their league. They're moving to the Southern Conference to start next season. Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee Tech is capable of going on a run. They have the ability to put up points in bunches. Lehigh is a team that is an old school, line it up, run the football, play defense, special teams are strong. I like that Lehigh football team. There's a lot to like about them. Mercer is the wild card in my mind because their defense is adequate. Last year it was superlative.
Mm-hmm.
This year they're just okay. But the offense is darn good again behind freshman quarterback Braden Atkinson, who was our offensive player of the week last week nationally. The kid can really spin it, and he's also a plus in the running game. So Mercer has the ability to spread you out and do a lot of things on offense. The question that's going to be for Mercer is, can they get enough stops in a football game against a Big Sky team or a Valley football team to keep the ball game close to where they have a chance to win it in the fourth quarter? The huge two wild cards for me, though, besides Mercer, are Tarleton and Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
Tarleton looked like themselves last week. They did not look like the team that got beat by Abilene Christian. They looked the way they looked the first 5, 6, 7 weeks of the season, putting up 50 points, running people off the field, and just being absolutely dynamic on offense and awesome on defense. If they can continue that, Tarleton State is a team that's going to give a lot of people trouble in the playoffs. Harvard got pushed last week by Penn, and Stone and I both thought that game would be closer than a lot of people thought it was going to be, and it turned out that it was. They won 45-43, and their quarterback, Craig, is a plus player in all facets. That dude's a football player. So their defense seems to be a little bit more suspect than people thought it was. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that seeding group up there at the top eight.
Last thing that I really have on my docket is the Brawl of the Wild, Montana State. I mean, you're looking at arguably the top, I suppose, what, the number two seed for Montana, barring some crazy thing happening at the Fargo Dome this weekend, and for Montana State, you're playing for a seed at this point. So where do you see this ball game unfolding? If I remember correctly, it's in Missoula.
It is in Missoula, and Washington Grizzly Stadium, huge home field advantage. And this game, that really hasn't mattered a whole lot lately. And the weather's supposed to be relatively nice. It's a heck of a lot better than it has been. Like 3 years ago, that was about as cold as I've ever been at a football game over there in Bozeman when College Game Day was there. I mean, you know, my feet were not receiving messages from my brain, let's put it that way. So, but Montana State brings a team in there. The defense is really good in all facets of being a good defense. They stop the run, they limit you on passing, and they just really gang tackle, fly the football. Montana's defense has been suspect against the pass, and you have to figure Montana State is going to turn Lansom loose, Taco Dowler and the receiver group he leads, and they're going to try to see if Montana can get them off the field on third down. That's going to be the key for the Grizz. Can they get off the field, keep Montana State's offense on the other side? Because the Grizz bring in an offense that's about as good as any of them I've seen since I've been out here, and that's been, this will be my 15th winter, about as good of an offense as they've ever had. Running back is solid, good receiver group. Ayat, the quarterback, has really grown into his position there as the starter and the leader of that football team. It's the first time in a long time nobody's questioned the Grizz quarterback, right? He's solidly taken over that job. And at Washington Grizzly Stadium, in front of that bunch of loud maniacs, wanting to hoist up that 300-pound trophy, it's going to be a whale of a game in Missoula. I can't wait.
In closing with you today, Kevin, what do we have on the docket for FCS Nation? And probably putting you up in a corner, but what's a must-watch game this weekend? We know the Brawl of the Wild. We know Bison fans will be locked into NDSU in St. Thomas. But outside of a couple of those Valley games, where should we be looking, especially for playoff positioning?
I think there's two games. We talked about one. Tennessee Tech is at Tennessee Martin. And underrated ball game is number 24, Austin Peay, at number 7, Tarleton State. Can Tarleton State play like they did early in the season in back-to-back weeks? We'll find out. And also, you know, Harvard at Yale. Who knows what's going to happen in that one? Funny things happen in rivalry games. But what's going to come up this week is we're going to preview all these games. We're going to pick them. And we're also going to talk to you about our initiative to end pediatric cancer in our time through Northwestern Mutual and Alex's Lemonade Stand. Where we stand right now, we have raised $67,523 this season. And North Dakota State fans and UND fans, you have players involved. Donovan Woolen is the player for the North Dakota State Bison. And we have Caden Vig from the University of North Dakota. Both of these young men have dedicated their seasons to ending pediatric cancer in our time. Please go to our website, FCSNationRadio.com. Click on Alex's Lemonade Stand. And if you have the ability to donate, please do. $67,523 raised so far. And we haven't even hit the playoffs yet, gentlemen.